Hey, Pastor John Aiken here. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Faith Center podcast. We hope today's teaching will awaken and equip you to live out your God-given purpose. Enjoy. So I hope you have your Bible out. We're going to get into the Word this morning. I believe God's really spoken to me that if you've been struggling with being disconnected, if you've been struggling with feeling discouraged, defeated, overwhelmed, wore out, isolated, you know, like I said, disconnected, overwhelmed, unwanted, unloved, if those feelings and those emotions have been coming upon you stronger and more intently, with much more intensity and more often, and you're really questioning things and questioning God about your life, and I believe today is for you. I was going to go a little different direction, and I feel like God wants me to share this with you. So if you know somebody that's struggling with that, I want you to share this directly with them through Facebook. Share this teaching with them and open your Bible. We're going to start in 1 John. So if you have your Bible, go to 1 John, and I hope you do have your Bible out. Don't just listen. I want you to get a notebook, get a pen, because I'm actually going to share four sections of scripture with you that we're going to read through, four different sections of scripture. And I'm going to try my best not to preach, you know, too much on every one of them. But I believe if you would, for the next 7 days, focus on these scriptures. This is what I feel like I heard, that for the next 7 days, if you'll focus on these scriptures and read them, that the Spirit of God would begin to speak uniquely to you. Every time I want to position my heart to hear the voice of God, I go to the verse of God and ask Him to speak, you know, to me. And so I want you to look in your Bible in 1 John chapter 4. It's Valentine's Day, so we're going to be talking about abiding in the love of God. And how do you abide, or how do we abide, remain in the love of God? Because we got to be careful as disciples of Christ. We cannot let the world redefine love to us. See, some people want world peace, they want love, they want joy, they want, you know, those things, but we don't want that. Here's what we want. I'm not saying we don't want world peace, but here's what we're going after. Here's what, as children of God and as kingdom Americans and kingdom ambassadors of Christ, we want to walk in, embrace in, and walk in the love of God, not just love. Because love can be defined by all kinds of different cultures, all kinds of different emotions, and all kinds of different things. But we want to walk in the love of God. We want to walk not in peace and world peace and just can't we all get along peace. We want to walk in the peace of God. We don't want to walk in just unity where everyone's just together and stuff. We want to walk in the unity in the Spirit of God. And so we don't want to walk just in joy and have, you know, happiness in things or in people or in places. We want to have the joy of the Lord. And so as we have those eternal realities of love, peace, joy, unity, we experience them in temporary, you know, earthly settings. And so we got to make sure that we don't start seeking after how the world defines things, and we stay focused on our King. We stay focused on our Lord, and He remains number one in our life. So with that in mind, I'm going to pray, and we're going to jump into 1 John chapter 4. I'll tell you what verse here in just a second. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray peace over every household represented. I thank you, Lord, that you would help us today, that you are speaking to your people today. We pray that a fresh oil and a fresh revelation of your love would penetrate our hearts, God. Open us up. Help us to be ready to receive your word in a new and living way. We are hungry for you, God, and we thank you for your love in Jesus' mighty name. So 1 John chapter 4, and let's look down at verse, for sake of time, let's go down to verse 16. 1 John chapter 4, verse 16, talking about abiding in the love of God. I love this, man. If you don't have this verse underlined and highlighted, put a star by it, something. You need to do something about this verse. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. Man, I love that scripture. We have known and believed the love that God has. It's present tense, not had and not will have, has, present tense. If you read it yesterday, it's present tense. If you read it tomorrow, it's present tense. The love that God has for us. God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. So we're going to be talking about how do we abide in the love of God, the present tense, powerful love of God. And it goes on in verse 17, love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Man, that's a huge, I could spend the rest of my time just talking about that right there. But look at verse 18. There is no fear, not even a little bit, no fear in love, but perfect or mature love casts out or drives out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love, or not, has not been matured in love. So abiding in love is all about maturing in the love of God, knowing how to mature in the love of God and be mature in the love of God. And so this fear is not talking about the fear of God or a godly fear or a holy fear. This is an ungodly fear. This is a unhealthy fear. This is a spirit of fear that begins to work upon people. But we know that God doesn't give us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power and love and a sound mind. And so this fear that comes upon us is the fear makes us question the love of God. And we think about judgment and we think about torment and punishment, that almost God takes pleasure in punishing us. And it's a wrong picture of God. God is just. God is good. He is fair. He is righteous. His judgments are true. And there is a day of judgment, even for the believer. We will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And even though we have the grace of God and the forgiveness of God, the mercy of God, we, each one of us, will stand before God and at the judgment seat of Christ and give an account for our stewardship of God's grace, for our stewardship of the righteousness that he has given us as a gift. And so this fear tries to drive out the love of God and keep fear. Fear works to keep people, disciples of Christ, immature in the love of God. And what that means is one day you feel like he loves me and the next day you feel like he doesn't. And the fear causes you to be driven by emotions instead of by faith. Way too many disciples are driven by emotions. There's Lucky. He's hungry for the word too, or I think maybe just another cookie. Anyways, so immature or believers or people who are not mature in the love of God, they're driven by their emotions. And we should not be driven by our emotions. So if we feel God, then everything's good. But if we don't feel him, it's bad. If we feel love, then, oh, we're walking in love. But if we don't feel love, you know, it's bad. We can't be driven by the waves of our emotions, that we need something deeper. And that's that mature love that he's talking about. And it goes on in verse 19. It says, we love him because he first loved us. Oh, and if someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this is the commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. Look at these scriptures. It's powerful. Go into chapter 5. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and whoever loves him who begot also loves him who is begotten of him. So basically, if you love God, you love God's people, you know, and it says by this, verse 2 in chapter 5, By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. So I'm going to talk a little bit more about this, but look over to John. Go to the Gospel of John. This is 1 John, and I love this, that we've got to know and believe the love that God has for us, and how we if we walk in this mature love, it drives away, it pushes away this fear that can really move our emotions back and forth. But we want something that we're unmovable and we're stable in the Lord, no matter what's happening. And so look at the Gospel of John, and I want to show you something real quick. So the first section is 1 John chapter 4 that we just read, verse 16, like through chapter 5, verse 3 or 4. But now in the Gospel of John, looking at verse 15, Gospel of John, verse 15. When you got it, say got it. Gospel of John, verse 15. And look in verse 9. And we'll start in verse 9. Man, I love this scripture. This, just powerful. You want to talk about how to walk in the maturity, how to walk maturely in the love of God. Verse 9. This is Jesus talking. He says, as the Father loved me, I also have loved you. And look at this again. Abide in my love. Abide in my love. If you want to mature in the love of God, you're going to have to know how to abide in God's love, especially when you don't feel it. And so Jesus is saying, oh, the Father loved me. I've also loved you. Abide in my love. Look at verse 10. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I has kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. So he tells us right there how to abide in the love of God. How to do it is you. It's obedience. It's obedience motivated by love. It's not letting your stinking and sinking feelings of isolation and disconnectedness, and it's not letting those feelings overwhelm you and make you retreat and make you draw back and make you go into your shell and make you believe this lie that is emotion based and that is lying to you, and your circumstances are lying to. And then you put on these glasses and you view everything through a certain lens and you think everything is dark, but really what happens is you just got tint on your glasses. You got an emotional tint on your glasses, and so everything you see, you think it's darkness, and you think, oh no, what about me? And instead of God being at the center and his love being at the center, what happens is you put you at the center. And so everything you begin to see is seen through these lenses of, you know, woe is me, and it's not fair, and it's and just all this stuff starts happening. It happens to me. I'm sure it happens to you. It happens to all of us. And we've got to learn how to abide in the love of God and not let our emotions, you know, drive us. See, the Bible says that in Galatians 5, that faith works through love. So if we're going to walk by faith, we also got to walk in love. Because the only way that faith works is it works through love. So if we don't have a good understanding of the love of God, if we don't know and believe the love that God has for us, and we are not maturing in that love, and we're not we're letting fear or feelings or whatever, speculations and unbelief come in and separate us from the love of God, then what happens is we start getting on these, we stop walking by faith and we start walking by sight, but it's a distorted sight. It's a sight that's not accurate. And but we feel it, and it feels so real. So then if we talk to somebody and they are seeing it more clearly than we are, because they don't have the lenses that we're looking through. They don't have those dark lenses, but they don't agree with us and give us pity and agree with us. Then we feel like they're not loving us. You know, and that can be a really difficult place to be in because your emotions are just going haywire. I've been there many times. I've been faced with depression many times and faced with isolation many times and an overwhelming sense of failure or fear many times to where I feel like everyone's failed me. And then other times I felt like I failed everyone. And so I felt that, but the thing that pulls me out is the love of God and reminding myself and knowing and believing the love that God has for me and then keeping the commandments. And remember in the sermon that I did just like a week or two ago about first words, about the Ten Commandments and how it's not rules and the Shema, about how, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, meaning he's first, and we shall love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, and with all of our strength. And then we know the second part of that great commandment that Jesus said, and he was quoting from Leviticus, and we shall love our neighbor as ourselves. And it says, let these words be upon your heart and impress them to your children. All that's in Deuteronomy 6. Well, these words was talking about the Ten Commandments in Deuteronomy chapter 5. And so these commandments are not rules that we have to obey, or God's going to get us, or because God's going to come and we got to fear God and just, keep these commandments or God's going to be mad at us. These commandments are not something that we keep to keep God from judging us and punishing us. These commandments are how we guard and grow our love relationship with God. These commandments are a description of love. It's like, Lord, this is what love looks like in my relationship with you. This is what love looks like. And it's first a decision, and it's first done by faith. And see, faith can create an emotion, but the reality of faith working through love is that the love that I feel is not an emotional reality. It is a spiritual reality that affects my emotions. But too many times we let our emotions smother and cover up the spiritual reality of God's love. And we believe what we feel instead of what's real, which is God's love for us. And so if we want to abide in the love of God, we have to do what Jesus said. We have to keep his commandments, and we abide in God's love by keeping his commandments. And so what happens for me, and I don't know what it's like for you, but what happens for me is I start feeling unwanted. I start feeling like I failed. I start feeling like you failed. I start feeling like somebody failed me. I start getting offended. I start getting disgruntled. I start feeling isolated and disconnected. And I put on my dark glasses and I start seeing everything. And then I think I'm prophetic because I feel like I'm beginning to see a pattern. And even though it's a distorted and destructive pattern, I still feel like I'm onto something and that other people are, to blame. And I get down to this stinking thinking and I start just, putting on these dark glasses and walking in this thing. And then it's like, you know what, God, you're failing me, God. You're failing me. And instead of being thankful and remembering all that he has done and is doing, I blind myself from seeing what God is doing, from remembering what God has done and believing him for what he will do in the future. And I got this stinking thinking on, and I'm not abiding in the love of God, and I'm walking into maturity when it happens. And I know it never happens to you, but sometimes it happens to me. And I begin to actually start to think, God, maybe you have disappointed me. Maybe you have failed me. God, maybe you're not enough. And then it's, well, God, I don't know if you're, real. And you start going through this struggle. And then you start looking for love in all the wrong places. And that's where sin comes in. And you stop, or at least me, I'll end up feeling a temptation to not obey the commandment of God. And to start looking for another alternative, thinking I'm justified because I'm a victim. Because I'm not, you know, and it's a lie. It's all a lie. So what needs to happen to snap you out of it and snap me out of it and remember that I know and believe the love that God has for me. And I choose by faith to abide in the love of God. And the way I do it is to thank God and to obey him and to keep his commandments. Not with fear and not trying to obey a rule, but to guard and grow the relationship. To say, you know what, God, I do love you and I thank you that you love me and I am going to obey your word. I am going to honor you. I'm not going to enter into temptation. I'm going to trust you, God, and I'm not going to believe those emotional lies. And what will happen is your faith operating through love will rewire your emotions to where your faith will begin to drive your feelings. That's abiding in the love of God. And that's walking in the love of God. So, and you have a choice. I have a choice. If we want to remain, if we want to abide, and that word abide, I wrote it down. That word abide means to remain, to endure, to stand, to dwell in, to continue in, and to be in a place or a state, to remain in a place or a state or an attitude of expectation. It means to stand there like, I'm not going to be moved. I'm not going to be bullied. I'm not going to be pushed back by a spirit of fear or by my emotions or by being bullied by somebody else's behavior. So whatever, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to trust God. And yeah, sometimes people may fail me. And sometimes I may fail people because we're people. But God will never fail you. God has never failed you. He will never fail you. And so that's why you remind yourself about him. And as a father loved Jesus, Jesus has loved us. And we can abide in his love by honoring him and keeping his commandments. Obedience is how you abide in God's love. Disobedience is how you get separated from it. It's that simple. So look at another scripture. I got two more I want to show you. Ephesians chapter 3. Man, each one just gets better and better. And what I want you to do, write down these scriptures. 1 John chapter 4, verse 16, all the way through chapter 5. Gospel of John chapter 15, verses 9 through 14, I believe is what we read. I didn't even look to see which one it was. 9 through, you know, maybe 9 and 10 and 11 all the way through 14 is amazing. And then Ephesians chapter 3. Man, Ephesians chapter 3 is amazing. Let me find it. Ephesians chapter 3, I'll start in verse 14 and maybe go down to verse 20. When you got it, say, got it. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Man, Rick Clendenin used to quote that all the time. He would. Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love, rooted and grounded in love. And what that's talking about, the rooted and grounded is establishing a foundation in you, in your soul, meaning establishing a stronghold there's a root that's being established that deep inside of you. Deeper than the unbelief, deeper than the depression, at least as deep as the depression, at least as deep as the fear, at least as deep as the feeling of being unloved and the false beliefs and the wounds and the lies, at least as deep as that. But the goal is to go deeper, that we would be rooted and grounded, that not just we are abiding in the love of God, but the love of God is abiding in us, rooted and grounded. I mean, we got to dig this thing out. Meaning every time we have pain, emotional pain, we've got to remove that and fill that void. As we dig out the pain, as we dig out the distortion, as we dig out the emotional just junk that's inside of us that has moved us for so long. One at a time, we uplift it, we remove it out, and then that void in our soul, we begin to fill it with the reality of God's love, the spirit reality of God's love. And we, so we're, gonna know and believe the love that you have for me. Even when I fail, even when I mess up, God, you love me. Even when you correct me, even when you correct me, it's a sign that you love me. Man, the world says if you correct somebody, you don't love them. And that's not true. God loves, he corrects and disciplines those whom he loves. He speaks the truth in love. So we go in and we, the goal is to be rooted and grounded, meaning the foundation, the starting point of our walk with God is love. That's the foundation. And nothing is going to move us off that foundation. That's what he's going after here. Verse 18, that we may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height. So I want you to understand this, the comprehend part, the understand part. It literally means to seize, to take hold of, to capture. Jane Walker used to use this word all the time and say appropriate. It's appropriating the love of God. It means to aggressively and passionately take hold of. See, if you don't want depression, anxiety, discouragement, failure, feelings of being unloved, unwanted, overwhelmed, offended, if you don't want to take offense, then take hold of the love of God. It's your choice. It's my choice. I can't help. I can't make you take hold. I can't control what you take hold of. You may take offense. You may take an attitude. You may take a victim mentality. That's your choice. Or you could take hold, aggressively take hold of the love. And you can know and believe the love that God has for you. And any circumstance you have to go through, no matter how painful, no matter how difficult, you address the circumstance by taking hold of the love of God. And look at what he says, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to his power or the power that's at work within us. Faith working through love, the presence of God, the power of God working through love. He can do more than you can imagine. And that's actually what he's talking about, the width. That means I don't care how widespread people could gossip about you. I don't care how widespread people could talk about you and spread rumors about you. I don't care how widespread shame can go. God's love is wider. I don't care how long people could talk about you. I don't care how long they could hold a grudge against you. I don't care how long, it doesn't matter how long they could be against you. God's love will outlast that. God's love is longer. I don't care how deep depression is inside of you. It doesn't matter how deep the wound is. You don't understand what they did to me, Pastor John. You don't understand what they said. This really hurts. No, I get it. I totally get it, really hurts. And I get it, that hurt is real. And I get it, that hurt is deep. But what we need to understand and remind each other about, especially when we feel a deep-rooted hurt, is God's love is deeper. God's love can be deeper. And the height, that height speaks to a wall, like a wall of separation. Like, I can't get over that wall. I can't get over that barrier. And I don't know what has happened in your life maybe that has made you feel, I can't get past that. That's too tall. I can't climb that. I can't jump that. I've tried to get over that. And you say, I can't get over that obstacle. I can't get over that feeling. I can't get over that issue. I can't get over that wall. I don't care how high it is. God's love is higher. His banner over us is love. His love is higher. And by my God, we can leap over a wall and run upon a troop. That the love of God being rooted and grounded in you can change everything. Just to believe, to know, and to believe the love that God has for you. And I'm speaking to you. And I know I'm being maybe a little loud or passionate right now, but I believe God is putting this word in my heart for you to let you know that you are loved, that God made a decision to love you. And he's not changed his mind, and he won't. And that in an ever-changing world, we serve a never-changing God. He never changes. The problem is we keep changing, flip-flopping back and forth, walking by faith, walking in fear, walking by faith, walking in our feelings. And things change, so then we change for the negative. But what we can walk in is be people who are unchangeable, unmovable. We're being transformed and growing in the love of God, maturing in the love of God. And that faith operating through love is empowering obedience in our life. And it just can... God's love is bigger. God's love is broader. God's love is past every dimension. It's an amazing thing here about the love of God, to know the love of Christ, that if you get that rooted and grounded in you, it will help you properly and accurately deal with whatever circumstances that are painful, whatever tribulation, whatever problems, whatever pain, whatever attack, whatever suffering, whatever issue, whatever persecution that you're going through. If you have the foundation, if you know and believe the love that God has for you, man, you can overcome anything, which is what brings me to my last verse. I'm going to share this with you and try to get out of your way. But Romans chapter 8. These are just, there's more scriptures I could go to, but I'm trying to be mindful of time and just share these four with you. Look at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, starting in verse 35. Romans 8. Verse 35, when you got it, say got it. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, or peril, or the sword, meaning somebody intimidating us, you know, as it is written, for your sake, we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things, meaning all these things, all these painful, difficult, horrible things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. So who shall separate you from the love of God? Only you can answer that question. The only one who can separate you from the love of God is you. There is no thing that can separate you from the love of God but you. Every time I have embraced the depressing darkness of not feeling loved and connected to God or his people, it's because I chose that mindset. And every time God has reminded me, even though I was feeling that way, to choose love and reach out and connect to somebody, reach out and worship God and bless God and honor God. That's why this worship night Saturday could be so powerful and so good. Because you're making a decision of I'm rooted and grounded in love. I'm going to abide in God's love. It doesn't matter what I feel. Because God's love is higher. God's love is longer. God's love is going to win. God's love is going to outlast this. I choose to know and believe the love that God has for me. And out of that love that God has for me, out of that love that God has for me, then I'm going to use that love to love my brother and love my sister. That's how this thing operates. Look at the very next verse. Verse 38, for I am persuaded, man, that's like strong language. That's Paul like mic dropping it. That's like, I am persuaded, I am convinced, I am confident, I am certain that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, or no thing created shall be able, which means nothing has the ability to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing has the ability to separate us from the love of God if we choose to know and believe the love that God has for us. You are not a victim to your feelings. You are not a victim to your circumstances. Faith operates through love. So start praising God, start thanking God, start honoring God, and you may not feel something right immediately. It may take a little while, but we're not trying to just change your feeling. We're trying to be transformed into the image and likeness of God. And so what I want you to do all this week, every day, today, tomorrow, for the next 7 days, what I want you to do, probably going to be snowed in, so a great time to do it, is go over 1 John 4, John chapter 15, the verses we read there, John chapter 15, verse 9, Ephesians 3, 14 through 20, Romans 8, 35 through 39. Every day, read all four sections and start putting God's word in your mouth, thanking him and saying, who shall separate me from the love of Christ? What shall separate me from the love of Christ? All these things may be happening in my life. I may have all hell breaking loose. I may feel horrible. I may, whatever may be going on. But I don't need a pity party because I'm going to have a praise party. I'm going to thank God because through all these things, I'm more than a conqueror. I'm more than a conqueror. That I'm someone who's the head and not the tail, above and not beneath, walking in the love of God. And so I just want to help you to understand that, because you and I'm the only one that can separate myself from the love of God. And that word separate means to pull apart, to come in between, to divide and to separate. And many times the way it happens in my life, I don't know how it happens in yours, but I'll get distracted, discouraged, and then divided. And so catch it early. Catch it early when you're distracted and just put your focus back on God. Worship God. Bless God. Thank God. Honor God for all that he has done. And thank him that even though today may be difficult and circumstances may be bad, God, I thank you that you make me more than a conqueror, God. And somehow this is going to work out for good. Somehow, some way, I trust you, God, and this is going to work out for good. And you choose joy. You choose faith and you choose love, and you let obedience to God, obedience motivated by love, not obedience motivated by fear, help you guard and grow your relationship with God so that you increase even through circumstances that are trying to decrease you, and that the enemy will regret bringing you through this kind of difficulty because it only proves to serve the purpose of God. So if you're, I want you to do that all this week. Just read through that and then go to the Faith Center family group page, the family group page. Join that group and share what God is saying to you. Share it. And you can be honest about your struggle, but make sure you don't just leave it with your struggle. Like you can say, man, it's been a really tough week going through some really hard stuff, but I'm trusting the Lord to bring about his will to pass. I'm walking in the joy of the Lord, or my God reigns. You always begin and end in faith. It's not a lack of faith to share a difficult reality, but you got to make sure that you begin and end that thing in faith. And then you can be honest with a confession of faith and abide in the love of God. And if you're watching this video and you've never surrendered your life to Christ, then you need to do so. You need to stop running from him. Stop trying to change your life. Stop trying to be better and do better, and just surrender yourself to Christ. Believe, the Bible says, if you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth that God raised Jesus from the dead, then you'll be saved. So if you believe that he died on the cross in your place as a sacrifice for sin in your place, that the punishment that you and I deserve and you for you and I was upon him. And he died as a sacrifice in our place. And if you believe in his death, his burial, and his resurrection, then what? If you believe that and confess that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. And so if you're watching and you need to pray that prayer right now, I'll pray it right with you. Father, in Jesus' name, I believe you sent your only son to die on the cross for us, to demonstrate your love for us. And today, I choose to believe that you raised him from the grave. And I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I surrender my life to you. I turn from my successes and my failures, and I trust you. Lord Jesus, come live your life in me. Cleanse me of my sin. Come live in and through my life. Teach me your ways. Fill me with your spirit and use my life for your glory. In Jesus' name. If you've prayed that prayer, post, make a comment saying, hey, I just prayed that prayer. And also go to our faithcenter.tv, faithcenter.tv, and let us know that you made that decision. If you're looking for a church family and you live in the Paducah area, then contact us through faithcenter.tv. We'd love to hear from you. Put a prayer request in there. You can go put a prayer request through faithcenter.tv, and we'd love to pray for you. And I want everyone all week long, all the next 7 days, read through those four verses and let the Holy Spirit speak to you. We love you. Happy Valentine's Day. And may you know and believe the love that God has for you. Love you. See you next Sunday.
Thanks again for listening to the Faith Center podcast. To connect with us, go to faithcenter.tv and fill out our connection card. We pray blessings over you and your family. We'll see you next time.